Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Today, it is episode 41 of We Are the Watchers.
Great work, champs.
I know, we are the champions, friends. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm great. There was some fantastic news that I can't wait to tell everyone about.
Oh, really? Okay, well, all I'll say is that coming up soon, we are not going to have a quiz. We're going to have listener questions because we've got a few and I keep forgetting to add them. So this is like the sorry, Leah's really bad. Here are the questions.
Oh, it's like when you get a bonus letters page at the end of the comic book. It's great. People with opinions writing in, wanting to know more.
We've got so many opinions as well. Mm. All right, so let's jump into the news. First off,
the Big Bang Theory is dead.
Your comment to me on the social medias over the week was, huzzah!
I almost wrote bazinga, but I couldn't bring myself to do it.
No, you shouldn't have done that. So this will make 12 seasons and that's it.
Yeah.
No season 13.
No.
Done and dusted.
But technically, I guess you could count young Sheldon as season 0.5, maybe?
No.
I think it's keeping going because he only does the voiceover on it. Jim Parsons was the one who said he's had enough of doing Big Bang Theory and they were like, okay, well, that's it.
They can't have Big Bang if there's no Sheldon. I know, right? I know, right? But
longest running sitcom on television.
Longer than Friends, which surprises me. Friends was 10 seasons and that was a long time, but Friends was still funny.
Yeah. There were some bad choices, a la hooking up Joey and Rachel.
Mm-hmm. What? We all know that one. That was a bad one. But still, if you watch episodes towards the end, you still get a laugh.
Yeah.
The thing about Big Bang is, like Friends, it's going to be on television for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm. I look forward to avoiding it.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I've found a good little story here that I thought you might be interested in. Mm-hmm. Ant-Man and the Wasp is Marvel's fourth biggest China opening ever.
I know, it's huge.
It's huge. So they got it a few weeks later, I think maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah, quite a bit later because of the Chinese blackout.
Yeah, well, of course, but the wait obviously was worth it and a lot of people wanted to go and see it. $68 million it made at the box office over one weekend. Only two Hollywood titles, Avengers Infinity War, made more, which I can't remember how much. It was a lot. And Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom have scored bigger openings in the massive China market this year. So I also looked at the first Ant-Man film just to see how it fared, and it made $43 million in China.
They love Paul Rudd.
He's Who doesn't?
I know, but he's a big star over there.
He could go and do... Do you remember that movie with Bill Murray, Lost in Translation, where he was a big Hollywood star? He goes to Japan to do those commercials that no one's going to see and get paid a lot of money for it.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Rudd could do that, but in China.
I reckon he probably already does.
Yeah, probably.
Brad Pitt goes and does Japanese commercials and this sort of stuff.
They make a lot of money from
it. Hell yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Hey, speaking of making a lot of money off
things... Yes?
Do you know who the highest earner for 2017/18 financial year is?
As in
Hollywood.
In Hollywood. Whew. Okay, simply because of Marvel, I'm going to throw Robert Downey Jr.'s name
third.
Out there. Really?
Chris Hemsworth was fourth and Chris Evans, I think, was maybe sixth.
It's a lot of superheroes.
Yes.
So who would number one be? Is it an actor or is it...
It is an actor. It is an actor.
Jeez, I'm trying to think of other
films. Who's someone that's been in a heck of a lot of films over the last year? A big name, a big star, big teeth, big head, big biceps.
Not The Rock.
Rock's number two.
Who am I missing?
Well, I've lured you down a dodgy garden path because the person who was the highest earner in Hollywood, most paid actor, didn't star in a movie in that period.
What's going on?
George Clooney sold his tequila company for nearly $1 billion.
No way.
Yep.
First off, didn't realize he was into tequila. He's into small beverages,
well,
isn't he?
I was going to say, he made a lot from his tequila company and made an awful lot from...
Nespresso. Yeah. Tequila is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Usually if you have a big night on tequila. You say, I'm never having it ever again. But there's a lot of people behind you who haven't had that big night on tequila yet.
That's right.
So I can imagine how he would make a lot of money. Maybe we should start a We Are the Watchers tequila.
Sure.
Every time we say, I don't know, quiz time, you take a swig.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down. Well done, George.
We'll be billionaires.
Yeah.
Oh, I did see the Meg has almost made $150 million. Just worldwide. That's not China. But that's immensely popular.
The Meg did really well. Crazy Rich Asians continues to do really well. And you know what didn't do well?
What?
Happy Time Murders.
Oh, see, it looks funny.
That trailer made it look really subversive. And I haven't gone to see it yet. Because apparently it's not subversive at all. The trailer, kind of like Suicide Squad, where it had that great trailer that did not match up to the final product.
There was a movie in the early to mid-90s called Mo Money. It had the Luther Vandross and Janet Jackson song, The Best Things in Life Are Free. From there, now, sure. You know the song.
Yeah.
You do not know the movie. The trailer made it look really funny.
Yeah.
And every joke in the movie was in that trailer. Mm. The rest of it was nothing like what they thought. It maybe something like that. I'm just really happy that still, just anecdotally around the place this past week, people have been talking to me about Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
Like I was talking to a lady at work today, and she said that her and her daughter went and saw it on the weekend, and they said it was great. They really loved it. I love that a movie like that can have so much success around, you know, not just a blockbuster, but, you know, superhero and comic popular movies, which are really action-packed, just to have a movie that's just fun, you know?
Bit of rom-com.
Exactly.
Love it.
So much fun.
Yes, they do want to build a snowman. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What else have you got?
A couple of quick things. So there's Amanda Iannucci, who I'm a massive fan of, English writer-producer. He's the guy that did Veep and
yep.
The Thick of It.
Yep.
And The Death of Stalin, all this sort of stuff. He's got two projects at the moment, both starring Hugh Laurie.
Interesting.
Yes, one is called Avenue 5. It's a futuristic, it's all set on a spaceship, so I'm imagining very Star Trek type thing.
Yes.
Hugh Laurie is playing the captain.
Is this going to be English?
So that's for HBO. So in the same way that he did Veep.
Okay.
This is the new show he's getting from them. And he's also directing a film at the moment starring Hugh Laurie. And it's an adaptation of the personal history of David Copperfield, the Dickens novel.
Very cool. Not David Copperfield as in...
No, Magic Man. I got excited. There was Magic Man. Then I did a look and like, oh, no.
That's still pretty cool, though.
Yeah. So those will be really well written. And I imagine Hugh Laurie is going to spit his barbs with venomous vigor.
It's very good, Hugh. Very good. If you ever get the opportunity to... I don't know, explore YouTube and look up some Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry skits from back in the day. Stella.
Very special stuff.
Oh, my goodness, they look young.
Very special. Hey, I've got an update for the youth.
Yes?
So if you're older than I am, which plenty of people are, this will mean nothing to you, but there's a grime late-night talk show comedy series over in the UK called The Big Nasty Show, spelled N-A-R-S-T-I-E.
Brilliant.
Big Nasty, he's a rapper. So it's just been confirmed they're getting a season two, and there's a spin-off show coming called Mo's Show. Mo is his offsider sidekick. That's going to be more comedy sketches and
this
nice.
Sort
of stuff. And the quote from Big Nasty said, if you thought the first series was gassed, this one's going to be majorly gassed with some intergalactic flavours with bass.
With bass?
With bass, B-A-S-E, not basses in...
B-A-S-S.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So if you... know what that means, get in touch.
Yeah, if you could, because we don't understand the youth. Oh, just really quickly about things getting turned into TV shows and whatnot. I saw a headline that said my dad wrote a porno.
Yes.
It's going to be made into a TV show.
So they've been working on this for a while, that they worked with some different companies that were trying to bring it to screen and maybe not going the right direction, so they're holding out for the right one. And they're going with a US company now, so bigger budget.
Oh, of course. I saw those guys when they came out here last year, probably about a year ago. Yeah, and they did their stage show at the Opera House, which is that felt wrong. There was a lot of porn speak in the Opera House.
Was it done? What's that whispery ASMR? Is that it?
That's right. Just like that.
He slowly like.
That's right. Belinda blinked. Hey, drink. I saw also that Blackish creator Kenya Barris has teamed up with a writer called Yamara Taylor, who did Blackish as well, and Boondocks, the Boondocks. They've penned a pilot of a new remake of Bewitched.
I saw. Very cool.
A little bit different. Samantha's going to be a black single mother who marries Darren, spelled D-A-R-I-N, who isn't in the, you know, advertising world. He's something of a slacker. What's he like?
What's Zach Braff up to? There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Job done.
Get him on board. Look, if they're going to bring back shows, Bewitched, people love that, and I can see it working in modern time America.
Yeah, well, look, they're bringing back Magnum P.I. as well.
No way!
Yeah, from the same people that have been doing Hawaii Five-O for years.
That show has been going for, I feel like, longer than actually the original went for.
I think so. This is their eighth season now.
Yeah, right.
And, yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to be later in this season or when, but they're going to be crossing over with each other of maybe...
Cool.
Because they're all filming in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That'll be awesome. Yeah. Does Magnum P.I. have to have a moustache?
Yes.
Please tell me he has to wear short shorts as well.
I don't think it's the full handlebar. I know there's a moustache involved.
Okay, good.
Magnum is played by a guy called Jay Hernandez, who you've seen in plenty of stuff.
I recognise the name.
He was Diablo in Suicide Squad, but he was under a ton of tattoos and prosthetics.
That's not going to help. No. Especially when trying to picture the moustache.
Yeah, so I'm down with that. They shared the first poster for the Arrowverse crossover. I know we've talked about
it. How does it look?
It looks pretty good, but they've revealed that Legends of Tomorrow aren't involved this year, that it's only going to be a three-part crossover. Very strange.
Now, if you can look into it, does it sort of spell out any problems, do you reckon?
Not
any
at all.
End of... Okay.
Not on
so
the,
why do you think they made that decision?
Because they're introducing Batwoman.
Okay.
So that way they can put the spotlight on her. If you bring in the Legends generally has 7 to 9 members at any time, so there's a lot of extra cast that you've got to share storylines.
Particularly if you want to start setting up the Batwoman storyline.
They have confirmed that Tyler Cochran, who's the guy that plays Superman on Supergirl, who only appears at maybe 3 episodes a season, he's going to be in all 3 parts of the crossover. So you lose out on the Legends,
money.
But you get Superman and Batwoman coming in.
Now, I think what I need to do really quickly is search to see if Ruby Rose has come back into Twitter. We've got to keep it as updated as possible.
Oh, the people need to know.
She's not there.
No.
You can look up Ruby Rose daily, but...
We'll check in weekly for you.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for more updates on Ruby Rose's whereabouts.
Twitter watch.
Yeah. They're the Muggles, still waiting on their acceptance letter to Hogwarts. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
One show that I'm very excited has already been renewed and they'd only aired 3 episodes.
That is a good sign that the production company is going in the right direction.
Making it.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, you've spoken about this before.
Yes, Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman's construction crafting show.
So after 3 episodes.
Yep. I'd like to... I'll read you what the statement was, because it's so great. So, making its debut telecast on July 31st earned a 1.4 rating in adults 18 to 49 and 6.3 million viewers overall in live for the week, making it the number one most watched premiere of a new summer series on the Big Four networks this year and tying it for number one in adults 18 to 49. That's crazy.
That's really good.
It's become NBC's top alternative series premiere to date in projected 18 to 49 ratings on digital, according to the network.
So how many episodes do you think they have made for this first season?
There'll be 6, because there were 8 competitors, and they're losing 1 a week, so that means the 6th episode will have the showdown between the final 3, I imagine.
That is a remarkable quick success story for a TV show.
Yeah, so it was used as a summer show, just to kind of film the summer season over there, and it's gone that well that I think they could just pump them out indefinitely.
They may still need to have that format of the 6, but they could have, you know, like 3 lots of 6 over 1 season.
Yeah,
exactly.
So,
well, congratulations to them.
Yeah, stoked about that. Also really stoked, you know I love my show Tanked. I'm still waiting for it to come back. But I don't know if it's a spin-off or what, but there's a new show called Scaled, and it's guys that...
Hello.
Like, it's people that build terrariums.
Oh, my gosh.
How
do you get on that show? Or at least, you know, go and sit on set one day?
I don't know, but they'll go out to people's houses and build them really fancy reptile enclosures.
That's so cool.
I'm really on board for this. There was a trailer for True Detective Season 3.
Now, the second season...
was bad.
No, I didn't even bother watching it. First season was amazing.
Yes.
I loved it.
It looks like it's gone back to the style of the first season. Whether it will be or not, who knows?
So Detective Wayne Hayes, you will know from, I don't know, winning an Oscar last year? Or was it the year before? Moonlighting.
Yeah, Moonlight.
No, Moonlight. Moonlighting was the show with Cybill Shepherd.
And Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
A little bit different.
They're not in it. No. Well, I don't know. They could very well be. So season three, they've now managed to get their... That is the second Academy Award winner they've got with Matthew McConaughey as first.
I don't know if Woody's ever won.
I don't think Woody's won.
Vince Vaughn has definitely never won.
Didn't even think about him. Colin Farrell.
I'm sure he's been nominated
for something. I don't think he's won. He
fucking deserved to win for The Lobster, that weird movie.
I don't even remember seeing that. I don't think I've seen it.
The less you know, the better. Just say it. It's really weird.
Okay, fair enough. So, yeah, True Detective definitely sounds like something to get pumped for.
Mm-hmm. And then I've just got two more news stories. One that makes me a bit sad is that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is basically on hold indefinitely.
Damn.
They had, because they were going to start filming, I think, in January, February,
yeah,
they had people building sets and getting all this sort of stuff, and they'd just been sent home.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Because there was also I can't remember, who was it from Guardians of the Galaxy that said, well, if, you know...
Dave Bautista.
Yeah, if I'm Lee, I'm not going to be in the movie if we don't get the director that we were promised. Damn.
Yes. So apparently Marvel's had meetings with Taika Waititi in the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's about Guardians or not, no one knows, but it clearly is.
Yeah.
He would fit. I'd have a go at that, but it's still a bummer.
Damn.
This whole situation.
Yeah.
And then also in Walking Dead-related news.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we're going to talk about Fear in a bit. And
yep.
There were new characters this week that I went, hey, I know that, to every single one of them. But on proper Walking Dead, they've announced that Ryan Hurst from Sons of Anarchy,
yep,
is going to be playing Beta.
Wow.
Who is Alpha's number two. Clearly.
So he's a whisperer.
Yes.
They're coming.
Yes, and a horrible skin mask type thing. And then a girl named Cassidy McClincy, who was last seen in Love, Simon, she's going to be playing Lydia, who is Alpha's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the point of her is now, because without Carl there, what's the point?
Because she was Carl's love interest in the comics, right?
There's some rumors going of like, oh, the time jump's happening. Maybe, who's that shit kid, Charlie?
Oh, the one that we've seen like two episodes of.
Yeah, apparently that they might try and age him up to be the new partner.
I don't care. I don't care. No. I did see a sort of lover's embrace of Carol and King Ezekiel.
Mm.
Just went blank there for a second. Mm. So that looks like that storyline's going to get ramped up, which you said 8 years ago that was what was going to happen.
Yep.
I think even before we met anybody from the kingdom, you said, this is probably what's going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's going to be taking place. We'll have more Fear the Walking Dead story, sort of spoilery stuff behind the spoiler section, but interesting casting news there.
Yeah.
Some people we know.
Yeah.
I did see, speaking of casting, that Dominic Monaghan is reuniting with J.J. Abrams.
Yep.
He's going to be in the ninth Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
I don't think we know the name of it, do we?
No.
I think so. At the moment, I couldn't find anything about his character. I know that Richard E. Grant's in it, and so is Kerry Russell. We talked about that a few weeks ago. They also talked about, I think it was JJ that talked about the fact that they will have Princess Leia in it. They will have Carrie Fisher in it, using bits and pieces of footage that they've got of her,
yep,
from the past couple of films. I hope they can tie it in.
I could see them using old footage and running it through the old hologram thing, and then,
yes,
then you won't be watching as closely.
It won't be that obvious, but there'll be no CG Princess Leia. But
okay,
they said that ages ago, yeah, and they're still sticking to it.
They could still just map her face on someone else's body.
Please just do it, so we can get at least some sort of storyline. I want the movie to come out, and then I want them to tell us what her actual character storyline was going to be beforehand. Like, give us the official one, but please tell us what it was originally, yeah, going to be. I think that would be good for fans. I don't think we'll get it, though.
Never.
No.
Never.
Very frustrating.
That would just confuse canon.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And canon's confused enough, because, yeah, all the canon was wiped the minute Disney got their hands on it.
And then they still keep bringing stuff back in, like Grand Admiral Thrawn, and there's lots of stuff from Expanded Universe that's being folded back in
now. It's just super confusing.
Very much so.
Have you got any other news stories?
On the news front, Not really. Look, I'll say American Ninja Warrior, the national finals kick off this week Vegas. I'm excited for that. I've been watching closely the last few weeks.
So this will be it until next season?
Yeah, although there'll still be like three episodes or something because they've got round one, two and three. Mm. But maybe no one will get to round three this year. Who knows? But
they don't sort of push it, do they?
No.
If you don't make it, you don't make it. That's it.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they do that.
It's a personal challenge.
The only Dharma staff with the initiative to plug the hole in the island. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I've been doing a little bit of different watching this week.
Right.
I kicked it off with rewatching some of The Green Wing,
sure.
Which was a BBC show from about 2004. And
after Black Books, right?
Yes, and after The Office as well, mm-hmm. because I remember seeing it and going, oh, I know people from those two shows. And I wasn't sure because at the time I thought it was one of the funniest shows I've ever seen. I just loved it. I love the randomness. I think it was even before Scrubs. So once Scrubs came out, which wasn't that far off, I went, oh, I wonder if they've bought the rights for Green Wing, but they hadn't. Like, sure. It was actually ended up being quite different. Green Wing is so much more quirky. It's still funny. It's still worth watching. I found it on Netflix, but funnily enough, I know I've got it on DVD somewhere.
Okay.
I just haven't watched it. I haven't picked out the box that it's in. Sometimes I worry about those shows that you remember fondly, but don't actually remember them too well. There's nostalgia sort of clouding how I remember this, but I went back and I think I burnt through about four episodes, which, as you know, in that kind of show, I pretty much got through the majority of the first season.
Sure, yeah.
I think it was only two seasons and maybe a special. I can't remember. It either finished on a special or the last episode revealed some stuff, which I won't say now in case people want to rewatch it. It's on Netflix.
Get stuck in.
Worth watching.
Nice. I rewatched newly watched Deadpool 2 Super Duper Cut.
Ooh, now what did the Super Duper Cut give you that made it worthwhile?
Oh, well, I made a checklist, haven't I? Because I saw the proper theatrical version enough times.
It wasn't that long ago either.
Nah, a couple of months. So yeah. I've made a list of some of the reasons why it's worth checking out this new one. And apologies if this is spoilers for anyone, but consider yourself warned. There's an almost single-take bloodbath that's set in Osaka, and it's to Enya.
Sail Away?
No.
Or the other one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's different opening captions, so if you enjoy the bit where it comes up with the funny stuff, there's a slightly tweak there.
Yeah, that's fun.
After Deadpool's girlfriend dies, there's a suicide montage, which wasn't in the theatrical one, including throwing himself into the polar bear enclosure in a zoo in front of children. And shooting himself in the head while sat next to an old couple on a park bench holding balloons, telling him that he loved Up.
Super.
Yep.
Bleak.
Very bleak. Something I particularly enjoyed in the comics, Wade Wilson Deadpool is completely pansexual. He'll do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they've toned that down a lot in the theatrical versions and stuff like that. In this one, it really ramps up how much he's into Colossus. He makes a lot of jokes about Colossus, like of how they should hook up.
They had all intentions of going there in the film. So obviously in the editing it was all cut back.
I think just for speed.
Okay.
Some of the jokes aren't as strong, but they're still pretty funny and they are there more for the comic book reader.
How much longer do you get?
15 minutes worth.
Wow.
So there's a different final song. A different song for the final battle.
Cool.
Which is Steve Miller Band's Fly Like an Eagle, which you might know Seal did a version of.
Yeah.
And then in the after credits scene, which is where Deadpool has the time travel device and goes and tweaks things, he goes back to infant Hitler in a cot.
Oh, no way.
And then spends a few minutes deliberating whether he can be that much of a bad person.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, it's really messed up.
That's amazing.
Like, made my eyebrows go up and stay up for quite some time. I'm like, oh, this is horrible.
And you've watched a fair bit of Deadpool, so you know what to expect from the guy.
I'm just like, wow, they're seriously putting up there contemplating killing a child.
Wow.
Like smothering a baby with a pillow.
That's real Black Mirror stuff.
So
If you enjoyed Deadpool 1 and 2, I really recommend watching the extended edition.
So did you just catch it on iTunes?
Yeah, it was up on iTunes. I think it comes out on DVD maybe this week. Or
perfect.
Like that. But yeah, it was up on iTunes, got the high-def version, which is the equivalent of Blu-ray and all the special features.
Yeah.
There's probably an hour and a half of extra special features around that. And the other part that's great, it has every element of the marketing campaign included. So if you enjoyed any of the videos, you can watch them again, but there's also some that were for specific markets that you might not have seen.
Oh, cool. Yeah, because
like one that was done in England at Manchester United Stadium. And this
so super specific to that. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that kind of stuff you probably would have a bit of trouble finding these days.
That's right. It's all localized markets. Like we did some stuff at Deadpool 1 when I was working with V Energy Drink, and it was specific for the Australian market. So it was stuff of like Deadpool at the Three Sisters saying, hey, check it out. It's my favorite thing, Three Sisters at the same time. You know, inappropriate jokes about...
But perfect for the movie.
Exactly. We had another one of him standing at the Big Banana as if the Big Banana was his little Wade. Saying,
little Wade. Oh,
that's not a Big Banana. This is a Big Banana. That's also, you can't find that in other countries. Not being released out there. So to see a lot of that stuff collated together is really interesting. And it makes a lot of sense because they go for the big marketing campaign awards. So they've already put their package together.
That's all. Package. Banana. Mm-hmm. It's all come back.
Yes.
Full circle.
So that was great. Roast Battle, it's almost wrapped up for the season.
Oh, man.
But the most recent episode had season one's ultimate champion, Mike Lawrence, his first time returning against a guy named Tony Hinchcliffe, who has traditionally come second.
And so you got number one and number two.
And they do not like each other at all, and it shows.
Really? Is it awkward, or is it just so full on? Yeah, right.
They get really personal with each other. They write on a lot of shows. They do a lot of punch up together and stuff like that. So they're clearly competitive already. Mm-hmm. But it's the first time I've ever seen them go up against each other, and it was no holds barred.
So if you were in the audience, like you said with the Deadpool alternative ending, yeah, eyebrows up.
Oh yeah,
stay up.
Oh, there's
the
just
whole time.
Wow, you can't say that. Some really, really great stuff like that.
That's so cool.
Yes, so I really recommend checking that. And then next week's episode, the final one, has now I don't know enough about sports, but I believe his name is Blake Griffin, and he's a basketball player for someone
he's either
important.
Either a basketball player or a country singer.
Yeah, or a Phoenix.
Okay. Yeah.
Or something
beautiful.
But yeah, he's coming on to have a go against Jeff Ross, the roast master.
Ooh.
He's the mastermind of it all. He's the guy that runs and writes all the actual comedy roasts and stuff like that. It's his first time getting on the mic on the show.
And you're up against the head honcho.
Yep.
Good luck to him.
So both of them, it's their first time ever doing televised roast.
Wow.
So Jeff Ross does all the big roasts and stuff like that, but he's not appeared on Roast Battle and stuff. So I have a feeling that it's going to get pretty out of control.
Yes, I have a feeling it's obvious who's going to win.
Oh, you say that,
but
the sports people that they've had, clearly some of them get a bit of help writing the
jokes.
Very
competitive, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
But you're meant to write your own stuff. Like one of the best jokes in the Mike Lawrence and Tony Hinchcliffe one, as Mike says, I'm really looking forward to battling tonight against Tony. I say Tony, I'm really looking forward to battling whoever wrote Tony's jokes. And it's like Tony can't say anything about that because
Ouch.
It's been shown before that he's told other people's jokes. So it's like that is really personable.
That's great.
Mm.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I watched a show called Great News, which is from last year. I
think there's two seasons.
Yeah, there's two seasons. It was on my radar to watch. And I'd completely forgotten that Nicole Richie was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Not even on the spectrum. It had, going into it, I thought, it's got a kind of a crazy ex-girlfriend feel, but without the singing. And it's still, after watching a bit of it, it's still got a bit of the crazy ex-girlfriend feel. Just the mother and daughter relationship is very similar to that. But obviously, you know, the mother's far more involved than crazy ex-girlfriend. And I actually didn't mind Nicole Richie's character.
Sure.
She's a little one-sided, but she's not in it that much. She did mainly, the episodes that I've seen, she's just there to say cliche sort of stuff.
Yep.
She's all right. I realised I hadn't seen her for years. She looks older. Funny that.
She's married to one of Good Charlotte for a while.
She is too. Are they not married anymore?
I don't think so. Didn't he marry Cameron Diaz?
I don't. Well, maybe that was the other one. How many are there? There's two.
There's two, but probably got body doubles.
Yeah,
they've done very well for themselves.
Very well.
They are they must be packing because they're just constantly batting way above their average.
Way above their average.
And they're not even like in a band that's swagger cool. They're in like
or,
nasally
or that's relevant
pop-punk.
Now.
No. Hey.
Really?
Yeah. They've got
they're
a new
still
al-
popular?
They've got a new album coming out. So they've done a good job of reinventing themselves a few times.
Okay.
So they're, at the moment they're doing more of the like 21 Pilots style.
Right, okay.
A little bit slower.
Yeah.
Electronica.
Oh man, I just remember having to play them a lot on the radio.
Sure. They played at that Download Festival that I went down to in Melbourne earlier this year.
And how were they?
That's great. If you forget how many songs they've had.
Oh, they've
you
got
know.
A lot of songs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get
a
your
lot.
Hands off my girl. Get your hands
I
off my girl.
That.
That's what I mean. It's songs that you're like, huh, I didn't know you guys wrote that.
The whole progression of their success goes from no tattoos to full tattoos.
So many tattoos. Covered.
Can you see their faces anymore?
They have got some face tats, yeah. But they always wear sunglasses as well. And hats.
Yeah.
They like a hat.
Yeah. Everybody likes a hat. They're comfortable.
Yeah.
Super comfy. What else have you been watching?
Look, I finished off watching Colony, which I know we've talked about in the past and stuff like that, and unfortunately got cancelled this season. It was cool to see the end of season 3. The other aliens arrive, and we realise that the people that we've been afraid of the whole time are actually the good ones.
They were the good guys, yeah. I think you, I don't know if you said it in the podcast or to me outside of the podcast, but you suspected that was the case.
I thought that was the way it was going. It really was going that way. Mm. It clearly ended with them thinking that they were going to have another season.
Damn, that's such a shame.
Yeah, the main guy was about to be shipped off to the front lines. The mum was outside the safety zone, and a meteor had just hit the earth, so...
So for the audience, there was no closure.
There wasn't particularly closure, but at the same time, knowing where their storylines were going, you could see that probably both were going to die within the next 8 hours anyway.
Okay.
So.
And also, would your interest in it have died away within the first couple of episodes of this third season?
No.
That happens to me sometimes.
No, I was invested.
Okay.
I was invested, and it was taking like it constantly pulled the rug out on itself, and it was
which is a way to.
In the same way that you enjoy The Handmaid's Tale, which is a very different take on dystopia.
Very different.
That's what this sort of show was as well.
Yeah, cool.
It was just, you know, it was an apocalyptic scenario, but it wasn't world falling apart like we usually see.
I do like the dystopian...
Yeah, bit of enforced order.
Apocalypse, yeah, exactly. I want to know how things happen.
Slowly.
How the new rules are.
Yeah.
In things, which we'll get to in Fear the Walking Dead spoiler talk a little bit later on. I watched, because I'd seen it advertised, Guy Pearce's new show, The Innocents. I've only seen the first episode. It's setting up some confusing stuff. Within the first 5 minutes, you're like, what's going on with those two? Are they morphing into each other? Is there a bit of a Freaky Friday thing going on? And Guy Pearce knows all about it. Maybe he's the mastermind. Is he the mastermind? And then it flashes to these teenagers, and they want to run away together. And she's got a really controlling stepfather. But why? Where's her mother gone? Her brother, I assume, is he's got like a deformed arm, but that's not his problem. He's just scared of being outside. He needs to be inside the whole time. What's going on?
So many questions.
Very confusing. And then I won't say what happened at the end of the episode, but you went, things are kind of related here. I think I need to watch more. Mm. So it seems fascinating in that I want to understand the world that they've given us.
Sure.
Beautifully filmed.
Yeah.
Guy Pearce is sort of in northern Scotland, so it's that kind of look. That cold, bleak, stunning scenery, and Guy Pearce. I can't figure out if he's doing an English accent or he's just being an Australian who's been in England for a little bit.
Sure.
Because there's definitely an Australian accent staying there. Maybe he just can't be bothered.
It's a choice.
Kind of like Nicole Kidman sometimes. Sometimes I think, is she doing an accent or was she being Australian in this?
Sure.
Or is she just saying, I'm Nicole Kidman, I'll do what I want?
Whenever I think of Nicole Kidman, I'm reminded of the trailer for a pretty rubbish movie, which I think it was about 98 or something, called The Peacemaker. It was her and George Clooney.
Yes.
And there was a point where some missiles were about to be shot and someone had a sniper rifle trained on the person about to launch the missiles.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember Nicole Kidman going, take the shot! And her accent wavered horribly.
Take the shot!
Yeah, it jumped about all over the place.
I have a friend who does not have an Australian accent at all. And we were talking one time, and then all of a sudden, she went, no. I went, hang on, do you realise what just happened? Full on, broad Aussie accent, no. She got really impressed and then tried to do other words, and it's not working anymore.
Work.
Yeah.
No.
No, just give it up. Just let it go with the flow. What else have you been watching?
That's it. Enough. I'm just waiting. I'm still waiting. Things come back.
It's a wait fest. Well, let's get into our spoiler fest then.
Let's do it. Spoilers.
That was Morse code spoiler, right?
Yep.
Cool.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
We kind of got a little bit of what happened to Morgan during the storm. He slept through it.
Yep. He hitched illegally and unknowingly.
Into Mississippi.
Sure.
I didn't even get the fact that he hitched either.
I think if you lived in the States, this episode would have made a lot more sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of us who don't, and don't quite understand the geographical difference between Texas, Mississippi, and Virginia.
Mm.
Whatever.
I know Virginia's a long way, but Mississippi and Texas, kind of around there.
I think Mississippi's, is that Alabama? Well, no, that's Georgia.
Well, no, Mississippi is near all of those states. Nobody from America, correct us on this.
Yeah, don't add us.
No, actually, definitely correct us.
At Leah.
No, we'll just go, just do the email, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Basically, he went like 400 miles.
He went a long way. He slept
through. He almost walked 500 more. But he was like, nah, that bridge is out. I'm going
to
go back.
I can't be bothered to do it.
No.
So he at least we thought, and he thought, that he met this community of truckers who are not only trying to rebuild the transportation between places, but maintain it as well.
Yep.
It was maintaining and rebuilding. And I thought, oh, this is cool. This is a bit optimistic. We're learning stuff about people who are actually wanting to help and fix, instead of every time you meet someone on one of these shows, it's always a bad guy. And guess what? They turned out to be bad guys.
I think they turned out to be grey guys. I think the person we saw at the very end has a potential to be a bad guy. But I think grifters can grift.
I looked up on YouTube, I was going to say, on Google, because I was pretty sure these guys felt like comic book characters.
Mm.
Are they?
Mm-mm.
They're not?
Mm-mm.
They feel like it, though, don't they?
They do. Everyone that's coming in this season feels like comic book characters.
So there's no point yet in Fear the Walking Dead where they have actually gone, we haven't used that character.
No.
Let's throw them in.
I don't think they're allowed to.
Yeah, fair enough.
They got Morgan.
They do have Morgan. Yeah. I like these characters.
So do I. I thought they were pretty cool.
Interesting. Even the guy who was out the back doing hops and thinking his brewery was super cool.
So I went through, because all of them, I was like, hang on, is that? So I've done the homework for you.
Okay, thank you. Let's do this.
The brewing guy.
Yes.
Aaron Stanford.
Right.
Who, if you watched 12 Monkeys, the TV show version of the film, he was the main character in that. He was Bruce Willis in that.
Yes.
But where most people might know him from, the first 3 X-Men films, he played Pyro, who was the hothead flame-throwing guy that was the double for Iceman.
Amazing.
So he's got comic book cred. Then you've got Mo Collins, who was the trucker woman.
Yes.
She
reminded me of someone, but I don't know who it was.
This is
going to
blow your mind. She plays Joan Calamezzo, who is the host of Pawnee Today on Parks and Recreation.
No, no, yes!
Yeah, so she's the talk show host on Parks and Recreation.
Oh my goodness, I never would have picked her
She was on Mad TV for years. She was a great character comedian.
Right, I never would have picked that.
I know, under that hat and they've ruined her hair, she does not look
like
Joan.
She looks nothing like her.
Nope.
But how she is dressed in Fear the Walking Dead, she reminds me of a character from something, but I cannot for the life of me think of who it is, but definitely.
She kind of looks like a female version of one of the people on King of the Hill.
Yes, yes, that's true.
So the lady we saw at the very end, her name
Looks like a bit of bad gear.
Her name is Tonya Pinkins, and she's a big Broadway star, but I know her from Gotham, where she played Miss Peabody, who was one of the head nurse of the Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, the asylum.
So she's been in some cool genre stuff there. More comic book cred.
I hope she sings for us.
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, Daryl Mitchell, who is the guy in the wheelchair.
With his shin pads.
Yes. So he was flipping Tommy in Galaxy Quest years ago.
Oh, really?
Yes. So he was the young
Wesley Crusher equivalent in Galaxy Quest, where
really?
He was where he was walking. And I thought, oh, this is he's doing some fantastic wheelchair acting. And then I did some research, and I was like, I haven't seen him for a while, and I completely forgotten. But he'd had a major car accident in about 2002 and broke his spine. And he now like runs a charity for spinal injury awareness and this sort of stuff.
Wow.
So it's really cool that...
You did yours. That was amazing.
I did not want to just...
good homework.
Thanks. I didn't want to step out on a limb and be and like, just, that's good wheelchair. No, that's real wheelchair acting.
Wow.
So I don't think you could be in a worse position in a zombie apocalypse of being stuck in a wheelchair.
It definitely made me think because he's in a truck, so every time he gets out of the truck, they have to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he wants to fall out, but that's not really, you know, helpful. And then to see sort of Morgan with his hands tied behind his back, therefore having no use of his hands and not being able to, barely being able to make it away from all of those walkers,
yep.
showed you just how reliant people who don't have their, you know, full body to move around, how reliant they are on other people. So I wonder what he will provide in terms of going forward into Fear the Walking Dead.
Well, I could almost see him starting to adopt a bit of a Eugene role because he said some really dumb things at the beginning.
He wasn't Eugene-ish.
No,
but
he seems to have this encyclopedic knowledge of the roads, and I think the knowledge of resource will be a huge win for any community that would accept him.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they'll stay on the straight and narrow, who knows?
They weren't to begin with.
No.
They could go back and forth. Uh-huh. What do you reckon the chances of them getting to Virginia, though?
I hope the beer guy gets there.
Yeah, me too.
Because I can see beer guy becoming really good friends with a lot of characters. I think it might make Rosita chill the fuck out.
Oh, man, imagine her with a couple of brewskis under her belt. She'd be a lot less uptight.
I could see him and Carol butting heads.
Jerry!
Jerry's going to pick him up and carry him around on his shoulder.
Bear hugs left, right and centre.
Yeah. That was a great speech about beer because whatever your feelings about beer are, you could swap out the word beer for whatever your passion is. You know, he was giving that was a creative person speaking from the heart.
It wasn't even just the fact that it was beer. I love the history.
Yeah.
Part of the history he was talking about. You know, beer allows you to be able to drink this water that has now been treated, you know.
Beer makes settlements happen. People stop to grow grain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gonna do the hops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next week I'm assuming we're going to see a couple of the other characters and how they fared. Actually, it'd be the last two. No, we've got four. We've got two more groups potentially to find out what happened to them. So two more episodes of what happened during the storm. They'll all come together and then something's going to happen. Series end. How many episodes are we up to?
I think this is the third.
So we've got another five. Okay, so we've got potentially three because they're not all together.
I'd say, yeah, the two more of the separates, then maybe one coming back together, one fighting a big bad, and then maybe heading out for Virginia.
Yeah.
Maybe.
West Virginia. Yeah, this season, like I said, is probably one of the best of Fear the Walking Dead, so enjoy it whilst you can.
Yeah.
Are you ready for something a little bit different, a quiz time?
Yes.
We've got... listener questions.
Quicker questions.
These are some that have been emailed over the past couple of weeks to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com and either I have forgotten to do them or else they've been this week and I went, it saved me from thinking of a quiz.
Well, if you ask them all with a question mark at the end and go up, then it's going to feel like a quiz.
All right. I'm going to do that. Fiona from Brighton. Don't know which one. Tom, which comic release do you look forward to the most each week or month?
Oh.
Or, sorry, Fiona, can I call you Fee? Can I change it a little bit? Which one are you looking forward to at the moment that's coming out soon?
Man, that's a big question. I'm really, really, really enjoying a series at the moment called Cosmic Ghost Rider. It's set in the future.
I'm going to try and condense this really, really quickly. So there's a character that talks like Deadpool, rides Ghost Rider's motorcycle, but has the powers of the Silver Surfer and goes around the universe.
Sounds fun.
Flaming head, skull, all this sort of stuff. We learned slowly that that's actually the Punisher. We thought it was the Deadpool, but it was the Punisher who eventually died, went to hell, made a deal with the devil there to go back and keep delivering souls for him on Earth. And then Galactus came to eat the planet, so everyone was dead. So Ghost Rider, Punisher says, why don't I come work for you? And then becomes Ghost Rider, Punisher, Silver Surfer. It gets really convoluted. Anyway, in the end, he ends up working for Thanos at the end of the universe. Everyone's dead. He dies, goes to Valhalla.
Yes.
And Odin says, nah, this isn't your place, and sends him back in time to start again.
Bugger.
So he then goes and finds a baby Thanos.
Yeah.
And straps him in like a papoose and sets out to try and raise Thanos better so he doesn't snap his fingers and kill the whole universe.
So he becomes a good guy.
No.
No?
The Punisher is the worst father figure possible for someone that you're trying to teach not to kill.
So is it just really funny?
It's so funny. And they're up against the Guardians of the Galaxy year 3500 or something like that. And there's all these smooshed together. So Juggernaut from Deadpool 2 has been combined with Howard the Duck into Juggernaut. Juggerduck.
Juggerduck, Juggerduck.
Juggerduck. Like, it's really, really funny
stuff.
That's
awesome.
It's a writer named Donnie Cates. He writes some really, really out there gear. He's a big rising star at Marvel.
So you know whenever a new issue comes out that you're going to be giggling the whole night reading it.
Correct. The other one I would say is a story called Sex Criminals, which doesn't sound like it's very PG. It's not PG.
Naughty.
It is naughty. It's about specific people, special people who, when they orgasm, different superpower things happen for them.
That's so funny.
So there's
what a great idea.
Well, there's a guy and a girl who discover that when either of them do, they freeze time. So they start robbing banks in order to save their library that she works at. So it's really good-hearted.
It's almost, like you've got a bit of Robin Hood in there.
Yeah, but then there's some people that have got really messed up powers. Like there's one
guy. We can't all be perfect.
There's one guy that when he reaches that point, then like weird tentacle hentai things appear.
Oh, man.
It's very, very out there and weird. It has the most sincere letters column I've ever read. It's people writing in for sex advice, and they have sex therapists come in and guest write with
really?
Them. Really? Yeah, and they tour around doing college campus talks about this book and stuff.
What's it called again?
Sex Criminals.
Sex Criminals. That sounds good.
It's from Image Comics. It's very, very out there. It's very puerile, and they quite often put out comics that will come in black plastic because the cover isn't appropriate for general viewing.
Fair enough. It's like Madonna's sex book.
Yes, and I know this sounds very salacious and everything, but it wins major, major awards every year because as silly as a lot of the stuff is, it's treated with such sincerity. Good.
Brendan from Greystains, what are some shows you've really loved the first season of, only to bow out shortly after that?
Ooh, things that I've left. See, once I've committed, I will quite often stick with for some time.
I've left before. I've just gone, Like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, I think I got to halfway through season two. It wasn't necessarily because I didn't like it. It was just other stuff came up and I just haven't gone back to it, and I don't feel like I need to go back to it.
Sure.
I feel like I've gotten out of it enough enjoyment.
I'll say the same thing with Last Man on Earth. I quite enjoyed the first season of that. Season two started and I just thought, I've got enough stuff on at the moment.
Yeah.
I enjoyed what that was then. This seems to be changing. I just didn't see it. I kind of regret that because a lot of people say it was great.
Sometimes there are shows that I personally would have bowed out of, but you know when you're watching it with someone and they're interested and you keep watching and...
Under the Dome, Stephen King show.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't even bother with that.
Nah.
Look, if I can go back to, and I've spoken about this before, Beverly Hills 90210, I bowed out the moment Jason Priestley left. I went, that's the last Walsh. What's the point? I'm out of here.
Sure.
Did not go back. Apart from that, like if I'm doing some binge watching, I will get through all, you know, however many seasons of Mad Men, or I'm still interested in Fear the Walking Dead. I will definitely come back for Westworld, that kind of stuff for sure.
Good Place is back in 4 weeks.
I'm 100% back for that.
Excited.
I'm more excited for that than I was for the second season.
Mm.
just because it's just gotten better and better.
The potential is great. But did you see the poster they put out this week?
Yes.
What on Earth?
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting.
Yep.
Hmm. Sam from I don't know where, but from the email, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Who do you think will not survive the final season of Game of Thrones?
Most of them.
Yeah, I think I didn't first think that she would leave and be dead because she seemed all powerful for so long, but Daenerys for sure. Cersei.
Jaime has to
Jaime's
kill Cersei.
Going. Yeah, exactly. And then he will die. I feel like we've spent most of Game of Thrones expecting Sansa to die. I don't think she will.
I think Arya's going to die.
I think Arya will die. I don't think Jon will because he already has. I think the poor Onion King, Onion Knight will.
Yeah, Davos is definitely dead.
He's dead.
The Hound has to die.
The Hound will die. The
Mountain will die.
Night King will die. Oh, the Mountain's going to die.
Oh, he's already dead.
And that's true. Bran, no.
Bran, no, because he has to live to become the old three-eyed raven. Or go back in time and cause all this to start with. I'm sticking by that theory.
I still love that idea.
I still think he's the one that's messed things up in the past.
Who else will survive?
Sam will live, because Sam has to be the chronicler. He has to tell the story for generations.
Brienne of Tarth will die.
I don't know. I reckon she could come out.
Really?
Yeah. It would mess up Tormund.
Yeah. And who we think has died, but he totally hasn't.
Not yet.
Mm-mm, he hasn't died. What about...
Hot Pie.
Hot Pie will survive. What's Baratheon's bastard son's name? Gendry?
Gendry. Gendry's got to make it to the end. I don't know if he'll... He's got the most rightful... he's got the strongest claim to the throne, but he's not going to take it up. He just wants to bang around metal.
He'll do something super heroic.
Oh, he's already pledged himself to John.
Yeah.
That kind of takes himself out of the running.
Okay, cool. Final question, Corey from San Jose.
That doesn't
sound like it's from Australia. What movie or television show do you think would make a great game?
A board game or a video game?
I don't think we have to...
limit ourselves.
No.
Ooh.
I think we can go for it. Look, I've played a bit of Game of Thrones Risk. I very much enjoy that. I know there's another Game of Thrones game, board game, official board game.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there a Game of Thrones Telltale game?
Yep.
It's like a storytelling game. That would be all right. I love the original idea of the Star Wars, was it Battlefront?
Yeah.
I love the idea of that, but once I played it for more than half an hour, I went, a bit disappointed in this.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be one of two things if it's a video game. It needs to have a storyline that is close enough to the storyline of the movie or the TV show that you love so much, but not the same. Like, it can't be the same story because we've already experienced it. But as a player, you want to play the arc, the journey of whatever the journey is, which is what we didn't really get in Star Wars. It was just sort of play that, and you want to be the hero at the end, which I think is why games like Uncharted work really well, because you're Nathan Drake, equivalent of Indiana Jones sort of thing. That's who you are. So you need a really like interesting story with gameplay that makes you feel like you're the hero.
Yep.
You're like a person that can do it all. Or you've got those Telltale games where it's like story-based, click and play kind of thing. Choose your own adventure sort of stories. I think they would work.
So I would go for a video game that is a choose your own adventure Telltale style of Black Mirror.
Man.
Release a new episode every 3 months that has nothing to do with the story that came before.
Yes.
Completely standalone stories. You are involved in a messed up narrative. And it means that as technology progresses, they can start having AR episodes or VR episodes.
This is good.
Different ways of messing with the platform, not just the narrative.
That's so good.
Copyright Tom Ragg.
Yeah, if you could, that'd be great. Look, if you have more questions or quiz ideas, throw them at us, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. They were fun. Good questions. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
I think we've finished this episode in a rather appropriate spot, meaning the end.
Ba, 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 ba.
Tom, thank you.
My pleasure. I already made a noise.
Yeah, the noise. You can't do two.
No,
it's too legal.